Greetings, 91 Weeks Voyagers. I'm glad you're back for another week as we dive deeper into God's life-giving word, specifically Ezekiel chapters 20 through 32. Now, in some ways, these chapters feel like more the same as God continues to build his case in support of the severe punishment he has ordered against his own people. And like a determined prosecuting attorney in the courtroom, he constructs his case against them with great detail. And even though we can clearly see his determination to follow through on his indictment, I can also sense his emotions of disappointment and sorrow that he's even forced to go down this road with his people because they chose to abandon him for their lustful pursuit of idols. And like a good parent that shares in the sorrows of administering corporal punishment to their children for their own good, I can easily sense that God was not pleased to have to go to this extreme. The truth is, he never takes pleasure in such things. In fact, in next week's reading, chapter 33, verse 11, we'll read this. As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. And not only does he act as the prosecution against his people, but since he's the judge as well, he describes the sentencing and form of punishment that will take place and the pain and sorrows associated with it. And on more than one occasion, he reminded them that he did all he could do to help them avoid the coming disaster, but they thumbed their nose toward him and chose to continue on their pathway to destruction. In chapter 24, verse 13, the Lord said, I tried to cleanse you, but you refused. Well, one thing is for sure. No one can ever accuse God of not providing adequate reasoning and warning well in advance of his sentencing and judgment. And as I read through these fascinating chapters this week, I couldn't help but notice that unlike us, the Jewish people of that day were at the mercy of their corrupt leaders and false prophets. Although there were true voices representing the true God, like Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the land was nevertheless plagued with corrupt leadership that over the years led the people astray. Look at chapter 22, verses 27 and 28. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Your leaders are like wolves who tear apart their victims. They actually destroy people's lives for money. And your prophets cover up for them by announcing false visions and making lying predictions. They say, my message is from the Sovereign Lord, when the Lord hasn't spoken a single word to them. Reading this passage saddened me, but it also made me realize the tremendous advantage we have that the people of Israel and Judah did not have in their day, and that's unrestricted access to the truth of God's word. Although they had the book of the law, it wasn't readily available and accessible to the general public. They had to rely on the religious leaders to communicate it to them and interpret it for them. Since they were copied by hand, the scriptures were in relatively short supply and largely controlled by the religious establishment. Now, not so for you and me. Praise the Lord, his word is available to us in abundant supply so that no one is without excuse for not knowing God's truth. Nobody, at least in Western culture, will be able to stand before God at the judgment and assert that they didn't know. For example, if I took time to search every corner of my house, I'll bet I could collect a dozen or more Bibles and various translations. This is an amazing advantage over the people of that day who had to rely on their kings, prophets, and religious leaders to guide them spiritually, many of whom were corrupt and leading their people on the path of destruction. We see this even later on when Jesus describes the religious leaders of his day as whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones and guilty of hypocrisy and wickedness while refusing to repent and recognize him as the Messiah. Here's my point. There have always been good church leaders and bad church leaders. godly leaders and corrupt leaders. Some know they're corrupt and unashamed, while others are self-deceived and under the spell of the evil one as they make it their business to suppress God's truth. Whatever the case may be, we don't have to fall victim to the false teaching, which leads me to our transformational principle for this week. And I bring it to you in the form of a Bible verse that's very familiar. It's Psalm 119, verse 105. It says this: "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Unlike the people who lived back in the day of the wicked kings and prophets, we have access to the living word of God that reveals and presents truth. And if we take the time to study it and meditate upon it and memorize it, it severely lessens the likelihood that we can ever be led away or deceived by false prophets and teachers, or even the devil himself. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, because if you're on this 91-week journey and you're listening to this recording, then you already understand this. You've chosen to invest in your faith and your personal relationship with God by getting to know him more and more through his word. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, Yahweh, is found within the pages of Scripture. We have unfettered access to the mind of Christ at our very fingertips. And those of us who know and love God's word position ourselves for great reward in the kingdom, if, of course, we do what it says. However, if we study it and don't obey it, then we too can fall into the trap of self-deception. We've talked about that in previous weeks. James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves." So each day when you study God's word, find a quiet time and place where you can't be interrupted, and approach this time prayerfully and always in a spirit of honesty and self-examination, asking God to help you discover ways to put what you read into practice for his glory and the good of the kingdom. Submit yourselves to his agenda for that day and commit yourself to a lifestyle of obedience. Never before have we enjoyed so much freedom and access to the word of God. Never take that for granted. In fact, work it to your advantage, something the people in Ezekiel's day did not have. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. This is Pastor George. Have a great week loving and serving the King.